From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, September 29th, 2025. A South Portland man has pled guilty to murdering a couple in front of their young children in Westbrook 2 years ago. In Cumberland County Superior Court today, Marcel LaGrange Jr. pled guilty to all six charges against him, including two counts of murder. According to state police, LaGrange shot and killed 37-year-old Brittany Cockrell and 41-year-old Michael Hader, both of Westbrook. LaGrange was tackled and disarmed by several bystanders as he tried to flee. Police have said they believe there is no connection between the couple and LaGrange. The couple's two kids, an 11-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl, were found inside a vehicle where the shootings took place in a parking lot near Bridge Street. They were not injured. More than 35 former National Park superintendents are urging that the parks be fully closed in the event of a government shutdown later this week. Among them, Acadia's former superintendent Sheridan Steele. He says there would be no staff on duty to handle trash or clean restrooms to prevent damage to grounds and habitat by visitors who go off trail or provide updated safety information. It's a difficult decision, Steele says, especially since October is a peak time for fall foliage.
That's one of the most popular times to visit national parks like Acadia. And it's just really unfortunate to disrupt visitors, but we have to do it, I think, in order to protect both the visitor and the parks.
Unless a funding bill is passed, the government will shut down at 11:59 tomorrow night. Maine is joining 15 other states in a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for threatening to withhold sex education funding from programs that reference gender ideology. The plaintiffs allege that the federal government is targeting transgender and gender diverse youth by erasing comprehensive sex education programming for entire categories of students. Lynette Johnson is a spokesperson for Maine Family Planning.
We want people to be seen and heard and know that the information that their educators are providing to them is relevant for them as well.
Johnson says young people deserve to see themselves represented in their education, that this knowledge helps keep people safe. The federal funding threatened in Maine totals $250,000. President Trump's new $100,000 visa fee for certain highly skilled workers is sparking concern in Maine. As Ari Snyder reports, some Maine employers and business groups worry it'll become harder to fill specialized roles.
The H-1B visa program allows U.S. employers to recruit skilled workers from across the globe. The $100,000 fee will apply only to new applications. In Maine, H-1B workers are concentrated in research, healthcare, and higher education, according to Patrick Woodcock, president of the State Chamber of Commerce. He says it won't be easy to fill those positions with domestic workers.
I am concerned that this could, at least in the short term, have some reductions in employment.
Jackson Labs is Maine's largest H-1B employer with 28 workers. In a written statement, a spokesperson for the company said the new fee could create significant barriers to recruiting top talent and, quote, slow the pace of biomedical innovation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
The Food and Drug Administration last week approved the drug leucovorin to treat autism. But the approval was made without a formal review, and some behavioral health physicians in Maine are cautioning families that more research is needed to know whether it's effective. Melissa Bowker-Kinley of Maine Health Behavioral Health encourages parents to consult with providers
so that they can get personalized recommendations for their individual child, young adult, and be able to kind of weigh pros and cons and have a meaningful discussion.
The Trump administration also last week discouraged pregnant moms from taking Tylenol, which it says is linked to autism. Bowker-Kinley says there is no strong evidence of such a causal connection. Brown University has begun the process of repatriating a collection of Wabanaki artifacts currently held in its anthropology museum. The Rhode Island-based university said the collection of burial items includes stone blades, knives, and other tools. A notice filed today under the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act says the objects were removed from burial sites in at least 9 locations in Maine in the early 1900s by an archaeologist named Warren Moorhead. Earlier this month, the Abbey Museum in Bar Harbor filed a similar notice, beginning the process of returning 16 cultural items in its collection to Maine's tribal nations. An annual University of Maine conference on floating offshore wind power has been canceled amid federal pushback against renewable energy. And as Peter McGuire reports, the university says it has no plans to host the gathering again in future years.
University spokesperson Samantha Warren says the American Floating Offshore Wind Technical Summit, or AFLOAT, scheduled this week was canceled, quote, in recognition of changing federal policies and priorities. Last year, the event attracted more than 500 people from across the world to Portland. University researchers have spent years developing floating wind turbines that can be anchored in the deep waters of the Gulf of Maine. The state's energy plan envisions producing huge amounts of power from the high winds in the Gulf. But that ambition has run into President Trump's hostility to offshore wind and moves to undermine the industry. Warren says that instead of a conference, the university will host private meetings with industry, government, and research partners. She says the cutting-edge technology has applications that advance the national economy and security well beyond ocean energy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
This past July, a woman who regularly went paddleboarding alone was killed on a pond in Union. Sunshine Stewart was a biologist, a boat captain, and a carpenter who loved the outdoors. Police have charged a teenager with her murder, but very few details have been released about the case. Incidents like this are rare in Maine, and while they can have a chilling effect, Nora Sachs reports that some are responding to the tragedy by doubling down on doing what they love.
It's a weekday night in Portland's Baxter Woods, and a pack of women, young and old, are clustering around Sarah Holman as she demonstrates the correct way to use a map and compass.
Okay. So you never want to move that, because that's your bearing,
okay,
right? So you want to move yourself to get the red arrow to go in the shed.
This is a women's intro to mountain hiking workshop hosted by the Outdoor Movement Project. Not long ago, Holman was like the novices in this class, active and somewhat outdoorsy, but with no real hiking experience or wilderness survival skills. That all changed in the summer of 2020. As the pandemic dragged on, Holman, a 46-year-old mom and freelance writer, felt stuck at home.
And I woke up one morning and said to my family, I'm going hiking today. And they were like, what? You don't hike? I said, well, now I do.
And off she headed to the White Mountains. Just 1 year later, Holman had summited all 67 of New England's 4,000-foot-plus peaks, including Maine's mile-high Mount Katahdin. She also backpacked a rugged and remote section of the Appalachian Trail known as the 100-mile Wilderness, solo. When she finished, she remembers thinking,
this is what I want to do. How can I do this? How can I share this with other women and other creative people? Because it was such an empowering experience that I want everyone to be able to feel that way.
Now Holman is doing it, working as a professional registered Maine guide and offering hikes and backpacking trips through her company and blog called She Hikes Mountains. Along the way, she's learned how to keep herself and her clients safe. Safe from the elements, from getting lost, from hungry bears. Unfortunately, Holman says, the one fear a lot of women she works with have is of people, potentially dangerous ones.
Of random violence for no reason when you're alone and really vulnerable out in the woods.
Holman says, of course, that's on her mind too.
I think it would be really sad to stop doing something I loved out of fear, because there are just a lot of things we can't control. And so, like the other fears I've tackled with knowledge, like bears and getting lost, I do everything I can to be prepared, but I also have to continue doing what brings me joy.
When that fear bubbles up, she'll ask herself,
okay, well, am I more likely to die in a violent act in the woods or driving to the supermarket in my car? And we all know the answer to that question.
Facts help, says Holman. And so does her lived experience hiking all over New England for the last 5 years.
Which is that every person I've ever encountered in the woods has been wonderful. I try to keep it in perspective.
So does sea kayaking guide and expeditioner extraordinaire Janet Robinson.
I'm 68 years old, and I've been paddling and doing outdoors things since I was about 14. And I love it. Loved every minute of it.
While Sarah Holman was out hiking the region's 4,000-foot mountains, Robinson paddled the entire Maine coast, a two-week journey, with a septuagenarian female friend.
And there's something about being at sea for so long, which seemed a long time to us. Your world shrinks to the elements, you know, to the tide and the wind and water and all that stuff. Very simple.
Robinson has also cycled across the country solo, trekked the 100-mile wilderness, and paddled the Allegash River. Over the years, she's come very close to some acts of violence against women and encountered some dicey situations of her own. And she says you can't assume that just because you're in nature, that everyone else you might encounter is, as she puts it, a swell guy.
It's awful to have to think about that in the out-of-doors, but the reality is there are bad people everywhere.
When she heard about Stewart's homicide this summer, she says she felt a sense of outrage and a violation.
You know, this one was close. It was particularly disturbing, but it hasn't changed anything I'm doing.
Robinson says she's learned to accept the risks posed by both nature and people for the reward of doing what she loves most. Still, what happened to Stewart is a warning, a reminder to be careful and to be wise.
And by being wise, I mean being aware, being circumspect, being aware of your surroundings, and thinking through any step you take.
And she says when a tragedy like this does occur, it's up to all of us to
reclaim the woods and reclaim the outdoor world as ours. Every individual needs to do this and not let violence that occurs in any way and form by whomever remove us from it and define the wilderness.
Easier said than done, Robinson admits, but it's happening. This fall, the women in the Intro to Mountain Hiking class will follow in Sarah Holman's footsteps by hiking in the Whites together. Janet Robinson also has no plans to stop, let alone slow down.
So take everything, take your paddles, personal stuff.
Currently, she's leading sea kayaking trips on her home waters of Casco Bay and dreaming and scheming about her next big wilderness adventure, canoeing in the Yukon. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, cannabis and physical and mental health. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.